That's good to be in church, isn't it?
Amen.
And we serve a holy God. It's exciting that he loves us, you know. Because really, you think about it, a holy God shouldn't love something as unholy as us. But he does, and he desires to make us holy. And that's a wonderful thing. So Mark chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, a pretty famous story that I'm going to preach from this morning. So Mark chapter 14, verse number 1, "And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. And there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will have, or what whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for this day. Thank you for our church. I pray that you'd help us to have the attitude of this woman who gave her very precious alabaster box. And God, I do pray that you help us to have that same mindset today, tonight, and throughout our future service to you, that you deserve our best. I pray that you bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Tonight is our Next Step Building Banquet. You've heard us talk about it week in and week out over and over again. And tonight's the night. We're here. And I hope that you can make it to this historic event for our church. It's going to be an amazing day for our church. We've been praying. We've been planning. We've been preparing for the big night. And what's funny about it is leading up to tonight, today, I've made a lot of announcements about the offering. And in the vast majority of those announcements, I've used humor to describe the level of commitment necessary for us to reach our goal, because I don't know any other way to express it. And the reality is I use humor when I'm nervous. And it's just a personality trait I have. You know, if you come up and you're all mad at me, you want to fight me, I'll probably throw you a joke just to try to catch you up, you know. I'm a little nervous. And I like to laugh when I'm nervous. Nervous laugh. Give money. You know, that's kind of the way it works with me. It's funny, but there's truth in those announcements as well. The reality is we need a miracle tonight. And we need God's people for you to step up, for me to step up in a big way. And I believe that God will reward our faith and our sacrifice with a building that will allow us to reach far more people. Even as I look at this auditorium tonight, can you imagine having twice the seating in here? That's what we're looking at. Having double the occupancy. Amazing. Would be incredible. Can you imagine singing Holy, Holy, Holy with that many more voices? It'd be incredible. It's amazing. But this morning, I've said some funny stuff. I've said things like, you know, if you can, cash out all your insurance policies. Maybe hold on to the life insurance one, you know, because we don't want you to go that far. Just stuff where I've said, you know, pray about what God would have you to do. Get a number and then double it. And we laugh. I'm not joking. I'm just nervous. But we are praying for God to do a miracle. And I want to preach a message to you this morning from this Mark chapter 14 and about the alabaster box. Now, we can apply this to a lot of different areas. It doesn't have to be the offering tonight. It can be anything, your time, your effort, your talent, giving God your best, not holding back and doing it now when you can. So let's look at this thing. I want to give you some insights from this story. Is a familiar story, and it's my prayer that God will use the faith of Mary of Bethany to strengthen our faith for what we do tonight and in the days ahead in our service to God, on giving God our best. The story is about Mary, as I said, Mary of Bethany. Her name is not mentioned in the book of Mark, but if you take the book of John, and you understand that at the same house, Simon the leper, there is Mary of Bethany there, and it's spoken of her. This is Lazarus' sister. There's Mary, Martha, Lazarus. This is that Mary. And she's going to produce an act of worship to Christ. That's pretty amazing. It's an interesting story. It happens, it's recorded for us in at least three of the Gospels. There's some debate about Luke, because there is a story very similar in Luke, not exactly the same. Happens in the house of Simon the Pharisee, and there's a few differences, not Simon the leper. We're not sure if Simon the leper and Simon the Pharisee could be the same person. Possibly, possibly not. There's some debate about it. But it happens, the one thing about it is this story in Luke chapter 7, if it is a different account, happens in none other than the Gospels. And the story of Mary of Bethany does not happen in the Gospel of Luke. So take for what you will. But at least three of the Gospels, and there's another account in Luke that is similar, not sure if that's the same one. But I want to give you some insights from the story that I hope will help you as we consider what God would have us to do tonight. There's Matthew 26, Mark chapter 14, which is where we're going to spend our time today. Again, Luke chapter 7, we're not sure, and John chapter 12. But I want to look at this story and say, what can I do? The first thing when it comes to giving your life, when it comes to giving your offering, when it comes to giving of yourself, when it comes to giving of your precious thing, the first question that we want to answer is it a waste? Because that's what the question is asked in here in Mark chapter 14 and verse number 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there came, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Isn't that interesting? I mean, this is very likely the most precious possession that Mary has. It's a costly possession. In the Gospel of John, it was Judas that gets very upset at this sacrifice. Because according to him, and we see in Mark chapter 14 as well, it could have been sold for as much as 300 pence. Which again, for most of us, we can say, well, how much is 300 pence? Well, in the Bible times, a pence was equal to a working class's day's wage. So 300 days of income. Count holidays and days off, that's a year's salary. That's a year's income that she broke and poured, wasted on Jesus. Think about your year's salary. Now we're talking big bucks, right? We're talking, based upon what we're going to have in the offering tonight, $200,000 a year for some of you? No, I don't know. The reality is even if it's $50,000 a year, even if it's $30,000 a year, somewhere between $30,000 and $70,000, $80,000, somewhere in there, that's a lot of money for somebody just to spend in a moment. It was an act of worship. It was an act of anointing his body for the burial, so we understand the sacredness of what she was doing. But imagine taking a year's salary and basically putting it on an altar to Jesus. Basically what she did. She took a year's salary, broke it, and anointed him with it. And that's why Judas was upset. In fact, if you continue reading in the book of Mark, the very next verse, verse 10, tells us, Judas, I'm out of here. Going to the high priest. We're getting, forget 300 pence, I'm getting my 30 pieces of silver. And he betrays Christ. And I think this event had a lot to do with that. He's upset about it. What a waste. What a waste. She just wasted all that money. Again, it would seem this is, she took a year's value, a year's worth of work value, and dumped it on Jesus. And again, why was this waste of the ointment made? Again, the reason Mary took this precious alabaster box of ointment was because of who Jesus was and is. And she was anointing his body for the burial. And there are people that debate on what she knew at that point. Did she know he was going to die on the cross? He told them. He told the disciples were clueless. But he did tell them, and Mary did sit at his feet, and she was listening to what he had to say. And he told them, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. So she may have understood, she may have not, we don't know, but she did know that she was anointing his body for the burying. She was identifying that Jesus was more valuable than her most valuable possession. The question for us this morning, is Jesus more valuable to you, to me, than our most valuable possession? Would we break it in an instant for him? I mean, think about it. I think one of the things that's funny, because I think my most valuable possession is something I don't even completely own. The bank owns most of it. But it's my house. You know, my house. My house. I'm on the title with my bank. And they own part of it too, most of it. But the reality is that's probably my most possessious value, because it's where I house my children, where I house my wife, it's where we live, it's our home. Everybody needs a home. When I break that in an instant for Christ. It's interesting. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Is Jesus more valuable to you than your most valuable possession? If he's not, any act of worship would be considered a waste. Anything we do, if Christ is not the highest of value, any act of worship is a waste. And we'll begrudge it. Oh, I don't like wasting this. Nobody likes to waste stuff. You know, what happens when a piece of food falls on the ground? Oh, it's still good, you know? That's how we look at it. And if we have to throw it away, oh, what a waste. For a piece of food. And even more so, if it gets bigger, if you total a car, oh, what a waste. I don't recommend totaling cars as an act of worship to Christ, but the reality is, if giving a car or something of that nature is something that begrudges us, then our value of Christ is not as high as that value in which we're worshiping. That's a good question. Where do we value Christ? You know, Jesus is God, and he took on flesh that we might know him. And tonight we give, and every day we give, because he is worth it. He is worth our all. No matter what we write in that number tonight, no matter what we put in, he's worth it. You will not waste it, because he's worth it. And no matter what area of service you give your life to, he's worth it. He is worth it. You can actually have your life cut short because you're serving him, because somebody took your life because they didn't like what you're saying. Like when we began the passage this morning, they sought how to kill him. It's amazing if you read the Gospel of John's account too. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, and then John chapter 12 is when Mary does this act of worship. And in between there, the Pharisees are trying to figure out how to kill Lazarus, because he was raised from the dead. Because people were flocking to Christ because he raised somebody from the dead. So let's get rid of Lazarus, and then they won't come. What's going to stop him from raising him again? Jeez. You know? But they were so adamant against Christ, and there will be those that, even though in our culture we're blessed, would take your life if they had the opportunity because of Christ. And when your life becomes something that's worship to give to him, he is valuable. When your very life is something that you would not hold back from him because he is worthy, then you're worshiping Christ and he is valuable. He endured the cross. He's worthy. He despised the shame. He is worthy. He became a servant. He took upon him the form of man. He is worthy. He is worthy of our all. He humbled himself. He endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. He is worthy. He loves you. He is worthy. He shed his blood. Incredible. He is worthy. Whatever we could give back to Him, He is worthy. Tonight, we're not giving to me as your pastor, and I hope you don't, because that will be one puny offering. And we're not giving to each other. And even though we pray for thousands to be saved and discipled in this new building that we build, we're not doing it even for the lost in principle. The primary reason for which we are giving is for Jesus. And yeah, we reach the lost for Jesus, but it's for Jesus first and foremost. Not for pastor, not for each other. And that's why we give. That's why we serve. That's why we give to Him in cleaning the church. That's why we give to Him in serving in nursery or being an usher or teaching in Sunday school or helping at the parking lot or giving up our seat for somebody to sit in on a Sunday morning service. Is because He's worthy. And we're doing it for Him. He is worthy. But let me ask you this tonight. If what you're planning to give tonight considered by the world to be a waste? He's going to give it to a new building, huh? Great. What a waste. Maybe. But if you give it to Jesus and for Jesus, it will always be worth it. The difference between worship and waste is belief. What do you believe? Who He is? Who is He? Oh, He's just a man. Then you'll do a lot of wasting in your giving. Oh, He's, you know, just a good person in the Bible. And some people believe that. Here we don't. He's God. He's God in the flesh. He's the Messiah. He's the risen Savior. He's incredible. And He's worth it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Because He's worth it. So, is it a waste? Not if He's worth it. Two, do what you can. The Bible says in verse number 8, "She hath done what she could." What she could was a year's salary. And by the way, think about it this way. I know we live in a little bit of a different age now because she's a woman, right? And it was very difficult for a woman to make that kind of money in that day. It's not, this probably represented her entire living. From the research I was able to do, the alabaster box was something that was something that they held on to for marriage as it's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's a very precious thing, especially for her. It was precious. But she did what she could. She did all that she could. The challenge for us is most of us can give. We can give some, give a little more. Can we give all we could? And that's the question. For the wise men, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For the little lad, it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, all he could. It's all he's got. For the widow, it was 2 mites. It's all she's got. She did what she could. What is it for you? What is it for me? Again, we're talking about our building banquet tonight, but what about life? What do you have to give Him in your life? Think about that. He is worthy. I want to build this building for Jesus so that we can be more effective in fulfilling the Great Commission that He's called us to. But honestly, that's not why I'm nervous. I'm kind of excited right now. I'm kind of over the nervousness. I'm really ready for what God has for us. But I was nervous because as the pastor of Quiet Baptist Church, I want nothing more than for Jesus to say of us on February 19th at 6 p.m. at their building banquet, they've done what they could. They've done what they could. And what He did with the lad, what He did with the widow, what He does with so many is, I'll take care of the rest. They did what they could, I'll take care of the rest. That's the way He works. So what I'm nervous is, are we, am I,
are we going to do what we can? Again, for some, it's something little. For some, it may be larger. I don't know. But can we do what we can? All that we can? They have done what they could. The little lad's 5 loaves and 2 fishes couldn't feed 5,000 people. But he gave what he could, and Jesus took care of the rest. In fact, and then some. God will bless our belief and our sacrifice. The Lord's people, doing the Lord's work, never lack the Lord's provision. But you have to do what you can. You have to do what you can. We have to do our part. We're co-laborers together with God. We're going to do this together with Him, and that's our goal. Tonight, for each one of us, let's do what we can. On any day of life, let's do what we can. And then finally, there's a point that I want to look at that I think is important. Don't waste worship. Do what you can, but do it while you can. Because there's a point of the story that I think is really, really interesting. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. What Mary was doing was an act of worship to prepare Christ's body for his burial. Now remember this, we have no guarantees in life. The fact that you're alive this morning is due to nothing but the grace of God. Praise God for that. And you're not guaranteed, I'm not guaranteed of tomorrow. Now, I have plans for tomorrow, but I'm not guaranteed of tomorrow. And the reality is there's no way of knowing for sure that I'm going to wake up tomorrow. On top of that, we know Christ has promised to call us all home. So when is that going to happen? We don't know. It's coming, coming soon. Could it be tomorrow? That'd be great. Forget the building. Get a new body. That's great. But there's a very interesting part of this story. Mary of Bethany came beforehand, to anoint the body of Jesus for his burial. And again, it seems that she knows what she's doing. Not 100% sure, but it seems like she knows what's about to happen. Jesus told the disciples he was going to die on several occasions. Again, they didn't get it. Maybe Mary did. She did what she could while she could. Because here's the interesting thing. There was another group of ladies who wanted to anoint the body of Jesus for the burial. And they waited until after he had died. And because of the Sabbath, they had to wait till Sunday morning. And in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we read, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices. And they had come to anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." And they were going to do what Mary of Bethany had done. They were going to anoint his body with spices for the burial. There's only one problem. There's no body. It's gone. The tomb is empty. So these ladies are coming to do a great act of worship to their Lord. They were going to anoint his body with spices. Had missed their opportunity. Because if you were going to do it, you had to do it beforehand. Because he wasn't going to stay there long. And they had missed their opportunity. So what you do, do now. Do it now. Get it done today because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. It's an amazing truth. Mary of Bethany did what she could while she could. And in Mark chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus says this, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also shall that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." You know who doesn't get a memorial? Mary Magdalene. Mary the mother of James. Salome. They had the spices. They went to the tomb, but we don't speak of them for a memorial wherever the gospel is spoken of, because they were too late. But Mary of Bethany came for him. She did what she could while she could. And as a result, today, I'm telling you her story. It's an amazing truth. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about the next day. Things I hear people all the time, well, when I graduate from high school, then I'm going to get serious about serving God. Really? Because oftentimes high school comes and high school goes, and then we're saying something like, well, when I get married, when I settle down, then I'll serve God. And then we get married. Well, when the kids come, well, then the kids are raised. Then I'll serve God. Or when I retire, then I'll serve God. Don't wait. Do it now. Do it now. Heard this story told. A preacher told this story. There was a missionary leper colony in Africa. They didn't have enough money to care properly for the sickness and the disease of leprosy, Hansen's disease, and as a result, it was wreaking havoc. And it often takes hands, takes legs, limbs, disfigures faces. It's terrible. It's the one that we hear about in the Bible. How it does terrible things. It's really kind of disgusting. And the preacher went to this colony, and he went there to speak and to be a blessing to the missionary and to the patients, and they sang, they fellowshiped. The preacher said that one of their favorite songs was Count Your Many Blessings. Leper calling. Their hands are falling off. They're in pain, and they're singing Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Their favorite song. The preacher said he was so moved by what he saw that he just wept. Just cried. Couldn't believe it. The patients were so joyful and so thankful in spite of their condition. They sang, they cried, they preached. And something happened that the preacher said he'll never forget. One of the ladies at the leper colony who was struggling with leprosy, she spoke up. And she said, let's take up an offering for the preacher. The preacher was overwhelmed. Like, you got to be kidding me. These people have absolutely nothing. And he told him, that's not necessary. Please, I'm here as a servant. I'm here to be a blessing to you. Please, that's not necessary. Please don't do that. You can't take your money. He had everything that they lacked. The missionary came up to the preacher and said, preacher, I know it seems out of place, but they would be absolutely crushed if they couldn't take up an offering for you. He said, here's why. They have a passion to give. For them, it was an opportunity to give their alabaster box. It wasn't for the preacher. It was for their Savior. And they loved him very much. So how about you today? Is giving to the Lord a waste? Or is he worth it? Will you do what you can while you can? Or will you wait for the opportunity that never comes again? That's prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, I am so excited for tonight. I pray that you would move in our midst to do what we can. Truth is, I would love nothing more than to write a check for $500,000, but that's not what I can do. I don't think that's what any of us can do. But God, help us to do what we can while we can as a form of worship to you. Not just today, not just tonight, but with our lives. Help us to serve you while it's day. Help us to give to you while we have the opportunity. Help us to pick up. I've been thinking about teaching Sunday school. Well, why wait? I've been teaching about serving in this capacity. Well, why are we waiting? Let's give it today.
And God, my prayer, though I didn't preach specifically on the gospel, the Bible does say wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial for her. So God, I pray if there's somebody here today that realizes they're a sinner. The Bible says there's a price for our sin. That price is death and hell for all eternity. They say, you know what, Pastor, I realize I've sinned and I deserve that penalty, but I don't want to go there. And I'd like to know what the Bible has to say about how I can be saved through what Jesus did for me on the cross, by faith. And God, I ask you if there's somebody here today that does not know for sure that they would die, that if they would die, they'd go to heaven, that their sins would be forgiven, I pray that you'd help them to be saved today. I'm going to ask that question with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. You're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I've done a lot of bad things. Even one bad thing's enough. But I'm not sure my sins have been forgiven. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. If I was to die today, I'm not sure what would happen to me. As I said, we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. So if you're here today, say, Pastor, I have some questions about that. I have some doubts. I'd like to pray for you. If you're here, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? I'll see it. Nobody else is looking. Would you slip it up? I'll see it. You can put it right back down. I can't see in the overflow, but if you're out there, if you come and talk to me after, I'd be happy to share the gospel with you and tell you how you can be saved. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing thing. And then for those who are believers, you have something in your life that equates to an alabaster box. What are you going to do with it? How valuable is it to you? How valuable is Christ to you? Will you do what you can while you can? Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to follow where you lead us. I pray that you'd help us to go anywhere and do anything that you've called us to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books. We're going to go to hymn number 350. The song is called Where He Leads Me.